Good evening. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Open Arms Church. So glad that you are here for our annual candlelight service. COVID has changed many things this year, but the meaning of Christmas has not changed. We look forward to celebrating that together tonight. What are we going to do? We're going to sing a few songs. We are going to study and examine, listen to God's word, see what God has to say to us during this season. And then as we usually do, toward the end of our time together tonight, we're going to conclude by singing Silent Night with those candles that you had placed there on your seat. I'm going to give those instructions now so that you are familiar with them later. So all you need to do is just hold up that candle. There will be several men who will be walking around with lit candles, and when they come to you, they will keep their candle up. You take your candle and you put yours into their lit one, and then you hold yours upright. And those sitting next to you will also do the same to your candle. That way, everything will stay where it belongs. No wax falls on you, falls on the floor, anything like that. And everyone has a safe, wonderful, enjoyable time. How's that sound? Does that sound good? So that is our plan for this evening. And if right now, if you could bow your hearts with me and join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this season. Thank you, Lord, for coming down to earth. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his government and of his peace there will be no end. Lord, we need your peace. We need to know that you are in control. We need to know that you rule. Thank you for this time that we have to celebrate that, to remember that. And Lord, may we hear from you tonight a blessed reminder of why you came to earth. And may that be what captures our attention, our focus, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, but for days and weeks and years to come. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us if you're able as we sing?
Come let
Thank you that you, the baby in a manger, are our King, and that you reign now, and that you will reign forever and forever. We thank you for that truth this Christmas. We open your word, we ask you to teach us, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Won't you have a seat?
Welcome. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to our friends watching live stream at home or somewhere where they have some media. An unprecedented 2020. But here we are, Christmas Eve. It's good to reflect on Jesus. You know, all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begin their books with some type of beginning about Jesus. Matthew and Luke, they start with the miraculous incarnation, God coming in the flesh. We just sang about what's written in their Gospels, the angel coming to Mary, telling her what's going to happen, an angel coming to Joseph, telling him that his fiancée is pregnant by God to stay with her, call him Jesus. The shepherds in the field coming, the journey to Bethlehem by Mary and Joseph, the wise men eventually showing up. Those are given to us in Matthew and in Luke. Mark, he starts his gospel in the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He introduces John the Baptist and then introduces Jesus, whom John, Jesus' cousin, says, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. But that's how Mark starts his gospel. John starts his gospel not with the incarnation, the miracle it was, or even Jesus' beginning of his ministry at age 30. He starts with the ever eternal existing Jesus. He goes all the way back to beginnings, past that, to introduce Jesus again to those who would be in his audience. You see, he writes his gospel many years after the other three. Community, the world, was very much in chaos and in flux around 85, 90 AD when John wrote his gospel. It's true, God came in the flesh. What a miracle. But that community of believers knew that, believed that, and understood that. But in the midst of the societal unrest, the cultural craziness, the government's instability in that day, they were despairing. They needed to have a refreshing look at God coming in the flesh, who he's always been, what he has done, and what he's going to do, so that in the midst of their discouragement, for they were discouraged, in the midst of their distraction, some of them even downright depressed, what he would write would lift up their countenance, would take them out of the throes of the circumstances that were so heavy and remind them, you have one who's a helper. You have one who's a sustainer. You have one who will help you see clearly beyond the surface, beyond the many voices that are speaking. He will tell you the truth. He will be a light to you. He will give you a light so you might grasp and understand and have hope again, despite the weariness of the trials that believers were in the midst of. That's the text we're going to go and take a look at tonight. The first 14 verses of John the writer, as he's inspired by God to give us this account. And after I read the text, you can follow along if you happen to bring your Bible tonight, or if you grabbed a program, the text is on that program. And then I'm going to share with you five takeaways that in this year of great unrest, of weariness, when we're saying, when are we going to get to the top so we can begin to slide a little bit? It just seems so difficult to endure. God is saying, lift up your eyes. Raise up your countenance. There's help right here, right now. There's a perspective, a light that will show you what you cannot see. Because here's the truth. God says, I'm always at work for your good, no matter how difficult. Let's read. Beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, Jesus has a lot of names in the scripture. One of them is the Word. That was a name attributed to him. What a great nickname, huh? Hey, there's the Word. In other words, if you want to know something, if you want to know something true, if you want the facts, go see the Word. Words are used to communicate. God was wanting to communicate. God always did communicate through his Word. But the people became deaf to it. They didn't go to it. It wasn't what guided and directed their hearts anymore. So God came. God himself came and said, okay, now I'm going to speak in person truth to you. Okay, so that's the only time out we're going to have in these next 14 verses. But I wanted you to understand in the beginning who the Word was. It's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I've entitled the message tonight, True Light. Because there's many lights. There's many who will say, follow me, I have the light. I'll get us to where we need to go. I've got two lights right here. Flashlights. Useful things, especially you might leave here tonight. It's dreary. Gets dark, right? 4:30, but it's getting better. I was encouraging my wife just the other day. Oh, it's 4:20. It's dark. I said, it's 4:21. It's not dark yet. Tomorrow will be 4:22, and it won't be dark yet. So, you're going home tonight. The car conks out. Which light do you want? Right one? Left one? Which one do you want? The right one. Yeah. Call the mag light. Big. Don't come and try and take my car. There you go. Pretty good, right? You want this one. Look at this little baby. Ooh. 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 If you've been around here long enough, you know I set you up. Okay. So everybody's got a light. Or everyone says, I am a light. Or I'll take you to the light. Or I know. We've got a lot of voices today declaring to be a light, declaring to have truth, saying follow, listen up. The scripture today uses the word light 7 times because in our time, in this season, Jesus says, oh, I have light for you. It's genuine, pure, unbiased light. That will guide you, also keep you warm. But light also does this. When it turns on and you're not ready, you might get startled. That happens to me. When the light goes on and I'm taking a nap or I'm sleeping, what are you doing? And I'm putting over the covers. It does that. We all need that. The first takeaway, this true light from Jesus, helps us to see that he was and is, has been eternally existent. He's creator and he holds things together. Look at verse number 1. It tells us in the beginning he already was. Well, how is that possible? It sounds impossible, but that's God. Scripture, if we went back to Genesis chapter 1, would tell us that the universes, all of them, they didn't exist. God spoke them into existence. He had already existed, and he spoke all of the universe into existence. Colossians 1 says, not only does he speak all things from nothing into existence, but he sustains all things. He sustains this earth. He sustains it on a certain axis so that we don't get too cold, we don't get too hot. Jesus does that. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made. Think about that. It's good if you've come tonight and say, I wanted to focus on the precious baby Jesus in the manger. That's good. But you know, maybe tonight we need to be reminded that the precious Lord Jesus is also the creator, the sustainer, who's strong. What part of your world tonight do you need rebuilding? What part of your life seems fractured? And there is one who can come and say, I'm the manufacturer. I can fix those things. You know, in our family, we love to grill. Danielle loves to grill. So I take hands off, and she does a lot of the grilling. And she's been saying to me for a few years, the grill we have is falling apart. I look at that grill. I wash that grill on the outside. Says, it looks good to me. She goes, no. The part I see inside, all of that's falling apart. Well, you don't tell her. She's teaching right now. But I splurged. This year, I bought a grill that's going to last a really, really long time. It's a Weber. It's a small one, but still got it on a good price. It's supposed to last a really long time. I dread opening up that box, or her opening up that box, because I know there's a manual with directions, and there's 2,000 pieces in that thing. She's going to say, thank you very much, honey. Like, ha-ha, it's her gift. All you women are going, how romantic he is. She's going to say, I want the finished product. You got to put it together. I'm going to look at the manual, because I've tried putting grills together, bikes together, without looking at the manual, because, you know, I'm a really, really smart guy. And they've turned out horrendous. What in your life needs to be put back together? Jesus is saying, I'm the manufacturer. Ask me. He says, I mean really, ask me. I love you. I came so you might know how to be made right with my Father. So you and I can have a relationship. So I can lead you well. Secondly, we look in verse 4. This true light will show us that Jesus is the giver of life and light. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So it's about photosynthesis. You know, we have life. We're created. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We're sitting in here today and we have life. God says spiritual life also needs to occur. It's not automatic. None of us are born spiritually connected to God. But as we sit in this room here today, the person that you are right now, you didn't make that choice to be birthed. Somebody else made that choice to birth you. Here, Scripture says that life and that light comes from Jesus. And darkness is always looking to overcome it. From before Jesus to when Jesus was on this earth, in the 2,000 ensuing years, darkness, people, schemes look to snuff out and put down Jesus because they don't want anything of his light or of his life. It says they try and try, but the darkness has not overcome it. Then it talks about God sending a forebearer, John, who would then proclaim. And he's saying, I'm not the light, man. Don't worship me. Don't bow down to me. He goes, I'm just a lamp. I'm a piece of clay. Jesus is the bulb. He's the pure, genuine, true light. I'm here just to proclaim him. And when he comes, I'm stepping away. He's the light. Verse 9, that true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. But the world has to be ready to receive and to say, okay, I don't know everything about God, about this life in which I live. I don't really understand much about me. Will somebody tell me? Will somebody show me? What is it about me that even I get frustrated over? You know, you've heard the story about the gentleman who leaves his house with his wife on a long trip. And as they get on the road, he realizes, man, what an ugly, cloudy, murky day. They said it was going to be sunny and clear, but it's not. Puts on the windshield wiper. He goes, this is worse. It's not helping at all. So he pulls into a service station, says, I need some new windshield wipers, and fill up with some wiper fluid. And they go ahead and they do that, and he's out on the road in less than an hour. And as he continues to go, he says, that didn't help. What a mess. This is terrible. His wife says, well, I have an idea. No. I know what to do. He pulls over the car, steps back with his boots, kicks out the windshield. And he says, you always wanted a convertible, right? And so off they continue to go. And all of a sudden he goes, it's worse. That weatherman ought to be fired. It's not clear. It's not sunny out here. I can hardly see a thing. She says, I have an idea. Okay, what's your idea? Your glasses, honey, they're filthy. There's things about us internally that needs cleaning, that needs restoring. But too many times we're deflecting and we're saying, it's out there. I'm feeling this way. Everything's so cloudy. Everything's so difficult. Nothing's working because, and there's deflection. There's blame. But Jesus says, I've come with a gracious light, a warm light, a clear light, a penetrating light to show, let's start here. Let's start on the inside. Because there's things I need to show you, and there's things I need to burn out. Third, true light helps us see that Jesus is really not truly known, nor is he sought. He's rejected by most. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So Almighty God became a human being, took on flesh, the very people he created and gave life. He came to the Jews who were a nothing people, and God established a people, dwelt amongst them. They didn't want to know him. They didn't want to draw close. They didn't want to hear. What they wanted was a miracle. They wanted the fish. They wanted the healing. They wanted him to do something for them. But the fact that he was coming as God and saying, I've come to make peace with you, but you've got to look inside. It's not about your religion. It's not about your sacrifices. It's not about the boundaries. It's about something amiss in your own heart. I've come to heal that. As a matter of fact, I've come to replace that heart, to give you a new heart, a heart for me, a heart that's honest and transparent and lets me in to really show and lead. And here the scripture says, Jesus is rejected by most. There are millions who are in churches tonight, who might be tomorrow morning, who've come to celebrate Christmas, but who don't know Jesus, who've rejected Jesus. But religion, traditions are important. Jesus is saying, I've come to know you, to be known by you. He declares it this way in John's gospel later on in chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. He's talking about an intimate relationship. And I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He's talking about an intimate personal relationship of knowing and being known. And right here he says, I call them one by one by one. And those who respond, who hear me call their name, they follow me. They're always listening for my voice in the midst of the many voices. No one can snatch them from me. They'll try and wriggle out. They do wriggle out. But they always come back. I'm always looking for them. And I always grab onto them. Tonight, do you know about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? Do you know him as that good shepherd who laid down his life for you because he loves you and he knows your greatest need was restoration, reconciliation, redemption, to be brought into a right relationship with his Father? Number four, true light helps us to see that Jesus is the only way to become a child of God. Notice verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's an important two words, right? You say, whoa, this is interesting. So I have to receive him and I have to believe in him. Yep. There is an act of the will. When one hears that voice, they begin to understand, I'm separated from God because of something inside of me. It's a nature that's independent of God, that's rebellious against God. Many of us form gods in our own imagination, and we may practice and establish religions, but there's one true God and one true way to know him, and the scripture says, through Jesus. Those who would receive him, who would grasp that gospel to say, whoa, I have a sin nature problem, but I can be forgiven. Jesus died on that cross for me. I believe that. You know when the angel in Matthew 1:21 told Joseph what to name Jesus? He said, you will name him Jesus. Because the father always named the child. God sent his angel saying, I'm going to name this child. Name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus comes from Yeshua. The Hebrew language doesn't have the J sound. It's the same as Joshua. It literally means God's salvation. So when the scripture says right here to receive Jesus, to believe on his name, you personally are believing, I need salvation. God's salvation, and it's Jesus. And I surrender my will. I yield. And I say, Jesus, I receive you as God. In the flesh, Son of God, spiritually, my forgiver, my redeemer, come into my life. At that moment, you're saying, you're King. You're Lord. You know, quote unquote, he's got the wheel. He never gives it up. He's Lord. He's King. And he says, and when that occurs in your life, he says, I've given you a right. That's a legal action. Adoption has occurred in that very moment. He says, I give you the right to become children of God who were born not of blood. He says, it doesn't matter your bloodline. It doesn't matter your heritage. You can have been born into a Christian family or a pagan family. You are not born of God. You're not a child of God simply because of your bloodline. He says, nor of the will of the flesh. He says, it's not a human decision. It's not like you say, okay, I hear this. I get it. I give a mental assent to it. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm enjoying the lane I'm in this race. But when I get close to the end, you better believe I'm going to pull out that, you know, hey, receive Jesus, believe in Jesus insurance card. It says right here, it doesn't happen that way. If that's your plan, you will forget. You will not remember. Your heart will look for many, many other things at that time. But the last thing that you'll be thinking about is, I need to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It says it right here. It's not the will of the flesh. You don't make that decision. But God is gracious. And he offers that opportunity. And it may be more than once. I'm so grateful it was more than once. I first heard these truths as a 20-year-old sophomore, and I rejected. I didn't want to be known. I didn't want to be drawn in. because I knew he was holy. And I liked the lane I was on. Oh, there was despair. There were consequences I didn't want to pay, but still I wanted it many times. Faithful ambassadors like John the Baptist would declare and share that message. And I didn't respond. But then 9 years later, by God's grace, he didn't need to make one last offer, but he did. And I surrendered. I'm so grateful that I did, because I couldn't have made that decision myself. And notice also, nor the will of man. You could have the strongest will, a great faith, but you cannot will parents or children to being born a child of God. Spouse, you can't will your spouse to be born a child of God. Children, if you're the believer, you can't will your parent to be born of God. Young man, young woman dating that one who's not a follower of Jesus, as much as you want, you can't will them to be a child of God. Nor of the will of man, but notice, but born of God. It's a supernatural activity of God. He reaches down in time and space, and the word he uses is adopt. He says, I choose this one. He chose a 29-year-old wasteland off where nobody would have wanted to have chosen me. God says, I choose you. But maybe you're here today and you're younger. And you're saying, okay, I've blown it, but not real bad. Maybe you're hearing the call of God very personally to you tonight. Or maybe you are older. Maybe you're much older. And tonight you hear, is he calling me? Do I respond to him? Paul, writing to Titus, says in chapter 3, verse 3, at one time, this is including himself, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to say, if you're here tonight and you are not a follower of Jesus, that was me. That's me. Wash me. God. Jesus, I surrender. I receive you. I believe on you. Save me. God says, I will. I'll adopt you in that moment. And then finally, this true light helps us to see that Jesus is the ultimate truth teller and grace giver. He's worthy of glory. Verse 14 says, and this is Christmas, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know God? You're saying, I'll believe in God when I see God. Here you go. See Jesus. Look into Jesus. Investigate Jesus. Study Jesus. He is God. And all the fullness of God, God's mercy, God's grace is contained in Jesus. And he's always telling the truth. He's always saying, here, I will reveal the truth to you. But come to me. I am the true light. I will show you what you need to see in order for you to see your need and for me to reveal that truth to you and in you. Last week, I pulled out a coat I've had for over 30 years. It's a wool cashmere black top coat. You know, in the cold weather, you can put it over a suit. Had it before I met Danielle, and I hadn't worn it in a long time. I like when it's cool, so I don't really wear that coat. I pulled it out, and I came into the kitchen. Danielle was there, and Lexi was there. And I said, honey, you have a steamer? She said, what do you need a steamer for? I need to do something with this coat. She goes, it looks fine. I said, you think so? My eyes aren't so good. Hers are really good. And so I'm saying, really? It can't be. It's been in a closet, bunched up with other winter coats. It's wrinkly. I know it's got some fluff on it. She says, no, it looks good. Lexi says, it looks good. I looked. It says, okay, it looks good. But then something inside of me saying, it can't be good. And so I brought it into the bedroom, put it over the door of my armoire, which is right near a window. That sunlight came in. Oh, my goodness. What happened to that nice-looking coat in the kitchen? Where did this rag come from? I mean, it was dusty. It was lint on it. There were creases. There's something about sunlight that penetrates and shows us stuff. I knew this coat is not in the best shape. It needs some tender, loving care. But everybody who loves me, even myself, no, you're okay. But the sun didn't lie. I got to work on that coat. You know, that's like Jesus. You know internally, something's not right. I got to stop deflecting. I got to stop listening to others. You're saying, I'm fine. It's them, or it's that, or it's the other. I got to come to the light. You see, I was glad. By mistake, I went to that sunlight. And I was able to fix that, get that fixed. Jesus is saying, come to me. I'm going to show you. It isn't then to smack you around when you come to me. It's to say, I'm the one who can cleanse you. Who can get the creases out. Can restore you. And for many of you who are believers, followers, Christians here today, be reminded that in the midst of this stressful, despairing, when is it going to ever end time, he's the sustainer. He's the helper. He's the one who says, it's not what you think it is. It's not the voice of everyone else you're listening to. I'm at work. I'm wanting to show you something. But you got to come to me. You got to let me show you what you don't see. I'm about building character into you, Christ-likeness into you. I want to raise you up as his voice for me in this challenging, difficult time. So in this unprecedented year of 220 at Christmas, come to the true light, Jesus. Father, thank you. Your word that's alive and speaks to us. Thank you that you came in the flesh and we celebrate you in this season, this night. Thank you for showing us and telling us the truth. Christ, penetrate deeply. Show us what we need to see. Let us come trusting in your mercy and in your grace and your tenderness. You are that great physician. You are our manufacturer. And Lord, for the one who is yet to receive Jesus, to believe on him, maybe this is the night they hear you knock on the door of their heart and they gladly saying, welcome, Lord Jesus. Come in, save me, I surrender. Lead me every day, every hour. Thank you for such love. Thank you for such forgiveness. Undeserved, but gladly received. In your name we pray. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask the light helpers. There's a few folks who are going to come, and they're going to come and they're going to take one of these candles. And you have a candle on the chair that is, see, if you don't see a candle, it's not in your hand, sit up, because you're sitting on it. Because there was a candle on every chair. And so they're going to take their candles, they're going to light their candles, and then they're going to come and they're going to look for a really sharp, responsible person, at least one in every seat section. And so if you're going like this, they're not coming to you. And so that one person is going to light the candle, then light everybody else, okay? Now here's what you're going to do. The one whose candle is lit, you're always going to hold it straight. The one next to you is going to take the candle. They're going to light their candle, hold it straight. Then the one next to them is going to come and do the same thing. Guys, we're going to hit the lights right now. Those lights are going to go out. It's going to go dark. And in a few moments, every single one of your candles will be lit. And then we'll leave tonight singing a beautiful favorite Christmas carol. You light it from the center.
Stand with us and sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother. Let us see.
Jesus, we thank you for coming for us. We thank you for dying for us. And we thank you for the promise that you're going to return. You're going to come for your children. We worship you, not just the baby, we worship the King. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn on the lights, why don't you carefully blow out those candles? That wax will be wet for a little bit, so be careful, that'll be hot. Thank you for being with us tonight. Merry Christmas, and we have a service at 6 o'clock, so if you would help us by taking those candles with you, you can drop them in the trash can on the way outside the door. Have a great Christmas. God bless you.